going to begin, as I said, a two-week series on stewardship. And God has called us to be faithful in our stewardship to Him. And so I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians, and I didn't mark that on your insert, but if you can grab your blue pew Bibles, I'm just looking it up right here, and I'm going to give you the page number. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that's on page number 870 in your blue pew Bible. And so would you turn there to page 870 in your blue pew Bible if you don't have an NLT with you. And I'd like you to stand with me, please. I'm going to read beginning at verse number 4. So let's stand together as I'm going to read here from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. We're going to read down to verse number 9, and so would you read together with me, please, in concert. I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts He has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Through Him, God has enriched your church in every way with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for He is faithful to do what He says, and He has invited you into partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank You today. We thank You for the truth of Your word. And Lord, I just pray that as we look at this two-week series on our being stewards of God's gifts, our being stewards of God's graces, of every portion of our lives being in the hands of God, I pray, Father, that You would just lift us up into that place of maximized existence that You've purposed through us, through Jesus Christ. And everyone said together, amen. God bless you. Well, Judy Garth, it's so good to see you up there in your seat. And I just want you to know as a congregation that the flowers that are here placed are in memory of Dave Champagne. And we celebrated with Judy Dave's life yesterday. And Judy, our prayers are continuing to be with you. So God bless you. Let's give Judy a hand as we celebrated David's life yesterday. And there's a great hope that is given to those of us who are in Christ beyond this life. If you believe that, say amen. So I want to talk to you today about being enriched. As a child of God, you are enriched. And we read that scripture out of 1 Corinthians. And if you know the book of 1 Corinthians, you're going to know that Paul had some things to say to the Corinthian church. You're going to know that there were some words of correction, actually, that Paul had to bring to the Corinthian church. And yet it's interesting at how he starts off this letter. He starts off by reminding them of who they are in Christ and what Christ has given to them. And so then as we think about being a people who are enriched by God, there's four things that I'd like us to draw from this text today that will help us to live the life that God is calling us to live. First of all, as a people who are understanding that they are enriched by God, we are a people that will display an attitude of gratitude. Now, I don't know if you're as amazed as I am, but every time that I get onto one of those jets, you know, one of those jets where there's maybe 100 or more people, I'm absolutely amazed, as we kind of go down the runway at breakneck speed, that we absolutely get up into the air and we fly. Is that like still astounding to those of you who are sitting in your chair and you're watching? Even if it's a small plane, I know in the summertime, we'll take a bush plane, whether it's a Cessna or a Beaver, and we'll, on the pontoons there, we'll pack our family and we'll pack our stuff in for camp, and we'll rip across the lake there, and they'll just gun the engine, and we're going, and there it is. We just lift off and we fly. If you understand that in Christ you are enriched, you will be a person who displays an attitude of gratitude. On an airplane, there's actually an indicator called the attitude indicator on the airplane. Now, if the attitude of the airplane is good, it's going to be soaring. If it's bad, it's going to be boring, and it's going to be bad. If the attitude of the airplane is good, it's going to be flying. If the attitude is bad, it's going to be dying. It's going to be crashing. And it's very much the same for those of us who are children of God, those of us who have been enriched by Christ. The attitude that we display every day is going to determine how our day in many ways turns out for us. It's not so much the things that happen to us. It's not so much the good things or the challenges that God is going to allow to bring into our lives, but rather it's our attitude of understanding that we are an enriched people of God. And look at how Paul began to speak to this church. I always thank God for you. Not that there weren't things that he needed to speak to them about, but he let them know. I always thank God for you and for the gracious gifts that he's given to you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. And so Paul, as he looked at the church, even though there were things that needed to be dealt with, as he looked at lives that needed to be dealt with, just like our own lives at times need to be having corrections and need to be lifted up, he said, I always thank God for you and for the gracious gifts that you have in Christ Jesus. Concerning the gift of God, the truth is that God has blessed you as a Christian with everything that you need. He's taken you and he's adopted you into his forever family. He's called you his son. He's called you his daughter. And God only has sons and daughters. Now, how many are here and you have grandchildren? Anybody here has a grandchildren? Anybody here that has great-grandchildren? Okay, well, I would imagine that you've probably got pictures of them in your wallet or on your smart device. Is that true? And you know, and you're proud of them. Like you just want to show everybody, your family, and you want to show them your kids. But God doesn't have any grandchildren. God doesn't have any great-grandchildren. God only has sons and daughters. And while it's true that sometimes, even as a parent, we don't mean to do this, but sometimes if we have a number of children, we might possibly favor one over the other. Not much, but maybe a little bit. But God's not like that. God has blessed you with everything. Would you please say everything? He's blessed you with everything. As soon as you came to him, he enriched your life and he blessed you with everything. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, you could circle these three words, with every spiritual blessing. The moment that you came to know Jesus, he blessed you with everything that you need. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Why? Because we are united with Christ. So when you display that attitude of gratitude, you understand that God's blessed you with everything that you need. When you have that understanding, if that's your posture, then you can receive every day. You can receive every day with the joy of the Lord. You know, today, February the 17th, 2019, it's never happening again. I mean, it'll never happen tomorrow. If we wake up tomorrow, it'll be the 18th, and the next day it will be the 19th. And when we wake up, we've got a choice. We can say, good Lord, it's morning. Or we can say, good morning, Lord. We can receive every day with the joy of the Lord. And I have a confession that I must make before you. Every day when I wake up, I'm so thankful that literally, most often every day, right by my side is my wife. And I have a you know, just a pure love and appreciation for my wife, for that one that I spend my life with. But she's not the first person I talk to every day. Every day that I open my eyes, the first person I talk to is Jesus. Every day, as soon as I wake up, I just begin to talk to the Lord. And I say, good morning, Lord, what do you have for me today? And I just begin to listen to him and I begin to speak to him. And if Wanda's not awake yet, you know, then I'm just asking him. I'm asking him to begin to download into my heart and into my spirit and into my mind the things that he has for me to do today. Because this is the day, friends, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Would you please say rejoice and be glad in it? Now, I like that word in the Hebrew. It kind of looks like growl. I mean, it's ghoul, but it looks like growl. And I think if you don't rejoice, you know what? You're going to go through life. You're going to just be. You're going to be like, oh, you better stay away from there. They're a bear today. Don't go into the boss office. They're a bear. But if you rejoice every day, I like, this is what the word rejoice means in the Hebrew. It means under the influence of any violent emotion, usually rejoicing, being glad or joyful. And I like that. Because you see, it's not the things that come into my life that influence how I'm going to be. I like the sense that God has got a hold of my life, that God has enriched my life, and if I understand that I have this attitude of gratitude in my spirit, that this joy of the Lord is going to be my strength. This joy of the Lord is going to take hold of me. This joy of the Lord is going to make me more than a conqueror for everything that I face in Jesus' name. And when you understand that, then you can not only look to receive every day as you should, but you can look to express God in all that you do and all that you say. Because God has a great love for this world. And when you understand that God has created you and crafted you and filled you, you can look to express his goodness. You know, there was a few years back this term that went around in young culture. Whatever. What are you going to do today? Whatever. Where are you going today? Whatever. What did you think about that movie? Whatever. You know what God wants you to do as a Christian? Just do whatever. Do whatever. Whatever you do. Whatever you say. Wherever you go. Do it as a rep. Would you do me a favor? I'm going to count three. Let's just say whatever. Ready? One, two, three. Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Child of God, whatever you do, whatever you say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to him, to God the Father. Display an attitude of gratitude. And when you do that, it lifts you up from yourself and it allows you to be a person that's able to show empathy towards other people. You can have an empathetic heart. You can show others empathy with the grace that God provides to you. Let me give you a clue. If you see somebody and they're not looking so great, you know, sometimes you run it. You might just say, man, you don't look too good. Are you all right? Oh, this is even worse. You look terrible. Is everything okay with you? Here's a better way to empathize with a person. It's so great to see you. I'm so glad that you're here. How are you? Just to be able to show empathy. Or sometimes you know that someone's going through something. You know that someone's going through a season or a test or a challenge. And I'll tell you something. It's really nice to know that even though Jesus cares for them, that there's actually people that care for them too. That there's actually people that will reach out and love them with the love of God. And the Bible says that we're to share each other's burdens. Yes, Jesus is our great burden bearer. But he's called us to look out for one another. And he's called us to care for one another. And he's called us as best as we can. As best as we're able to share one another's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. So when we understand that we're enriched, when we understand that through Christ God has enriched our lives, we can display an attitude of gratitude. Secondly, when we understand that we're enriched, we can dispense words of affirmation. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? God loves you. Do you know the power of the words that you choose to speak? I mean, there is a spiritual power in the words that you choose to speak. And when you understand that you have been enriched by Christ, when you understand that you've been enriched by God, you can dispense then words of affirmation. Through him, Paul said, God has enriched your church in every way with all of your eloquent words or with all of your speaking. And the truth is this, your words really show the reality of your relationship in Christ Jesus. I was sharing this morning in the Heritage Hour, and this is just a truth. I mean, everybody's parents are different. You know, everybody has a different mom and a different dad. But for the life of me, in all honesty, I'm trying to remember an occasion where I heard my father, when he was alive, when I heard my father with his mouth criticize someone or something. And I'm just being brutally honest with you. I can't even pick out a time. I can't pick up. Now, my dad was not perfect. I mean, none of us are perfect. But I can't remember a time when my dad criticized a politician a preacher, a person. And my dad was in business for as many years as I can remember. And there were some business situations that he had to deal with, like some serious ones. I can't remember my father even criticizing a person in his employ or who was in his employ and then wasn't in his employ. I just can't remember my dad criticizing people. And you know what my father told me, and I'm glad he did? He said this: if you don't have something nice to say about somebody, don't say anything at all. And the reality is that when we understand that we're enriched by God, then we're very careful about the words that come out of our mouths, because your words show the reality of your relationship in Christ. How do you know, you might say? Well, the Bible tells me so. If you claim to be religious, look at how strong this is, but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Wow, that's strong. And so I want you to know that in my life, I work hard to censor my thoughts, because I have to confess, every day I have thoughts in my brain that I could speak with my mouth that are not good ones. Does anyone else have that, where you have thoughts in your brain? I think there's about 20 of us. You know, it was incredible. In the Heritage Hour today, there must have been about 70 or 80 people, and I was the only one that had those thoughts. This is why you need to pray for your pastor. Dear God, help me. You know, there's 20 of us in here, and there was nobody in the Heritage Hour, just me. But I wrestle every day to be very careful about, listen, the words that I choose to proceed from my mouth. And here's why. Spiritually, they do things. Spiritually, they do things. But also, God wants us to speak words that bring rest to the lives of others. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to speak words that will bring rest and peace and health into the lives of others. You know, the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And concerning the work of the Spirit of God in our lives, it says, don't use foul language. Or another translation says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Any. None. Let everything, would you please say everything? Now circle that in your notes. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And don't grieve the Spirit of God. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live, by the way you speak. And so God wants us to speak words that will bring rest into the lives of others. That word rest means freedom from anything that tires or troubles or pains. Have you ever lied awake at night? You know, you tried to go to sleep, but as your head hit the pillow, you thought about an unkind word that someone spoke to your face. And there you are, you're trying to go to bed, and you know what? You just can't get that person. You can't get them out of your mind. You can't get them out of your heart. You can't get them out of your emotions. And that unkind word that person spoke to you, you know what it's doing? It's giving you heartache. It's giving you pain, and you can't even sleep. And you go to sleep for a few hours, and you wake up, and there that word is again, and it's right with you. You know what God wants us to do, church? God wants us to speak life. God wants us to speak life from the life that he's given to us. And when it comes to your words actually reflect your present heart condition. Now, the condition of the heart is very important. You know, if you go for a doctor's checkup and they kind of put that monitor on your heart and it's beating irregularly, well, they're going to keep you there. If you have a kind of a heart scan and they say, you know what, there's a blockage in your heart, they're going to put you into the hospital. They're going to do something, because your heart condition is extremely important. And your words, the words that you choose to speak, they reflect the present condition of your heart. And so one of the reasons that I'm grateful for, now everybody has a different set of parents, but I'm grateful for the dad that I had, where he said, son, if you don't have something nice to say about somebody, don't say anything at all, is that when I get those thoughts about people that I could verbalize to anybody, and I choose not to, and I choose even to speak other words, you know what, it helps me in my own heart condition. And I live my life understanding this. I tell you this you will give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. I'm glad it doesn't say you're going to give an account on Judgment Day for every thought that you think. Now, the Bible says we're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to take hold of our thoughts, and we are to do that. Like when we have thoughts that are not the right kinds of thoughts, we say, God, help me in my thinking. We'll talk about that in a moment. Somebody said, you know, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head. Like you can be in the most holiest moment and all of a sudden this thought comes into your mind, but you can stop that bird from building a nest in your hair. You must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. And here, look at how heavy this is. Your words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. And you know what I know? I know that everybody here wants to be acquitted. If you want to be acquitted, say amen. And so then be careful that you're a person who dispenses words of affirmation. Thirdly, when you understand that you are an enriched person in Christ Jesus, you are a person who will digest thoughts of acclamation. The Bible says, as a person thinks, so they are. Paul says that you have been enriched in all of your knowledge. You've been enriched in all of your thinking. And so when we understand that, we're able to digest thoughts of acclamation. Now, that word acclamation, it means this. It means loud and enthusiastic approval. I'll tell you something. If you work along somebody and you put your arm around them and you say, well done, good job, that'll cause them to go to sleep at night. That'll cause them to lie down and have rest. It means acclamation, loud and enthusiastic approval. It means to welcome and honor something or someone. And listen, Christian, you've been enriched with all of your knowledge. You've been enriched with all of your thinking. The Bible says, indeed, that you have the mind of Christ. And so when you understand that the mind is very important to how you live, you need to be committed to be a person who will elevate your faculties. You need to be committed to be a person that will elevate your thinking, elevate what you think about your God and you think about yourself. Now, you know, it's not possible to actually belong to a faculty of medical study. It's not possible to belong to a faculty of doctors. It's not possible to belong to a faculty of law or a faculty of education unless you've prepared. Like you have to prepare to belong to a faculty. A faculty is a skill derived from practice and aided by special power or endowment. So whether it's a faculty of law, a faculty of science, a faculty of medicine, or a faculty of education, there's something that you need to do in order to belong to that. But when it comes to your thinking as a Christian, understand this. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. And so God calls us as his people to elevate our faculties, to receive these and digest these thoughts of acclamation. God also calls us to exalt our Father. Exalt your Father in all you do. Exalt your Father in all you are. Exalt your Father in everything that you have and everything that you own and everything that passes through your power. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom or the powerful boast in their power or the rich boast in their riches. Now, there are some here and you are very mentally gifted. I mean, you're very wise. Some of you hold doctorates and some of you function in those places of, you know, that we... Some of the rest of us just could never even get into that thinking spot. But you don't boast in your wisdom. Some of you have had God's given you positions of authority or positions of power, but we don't boast in that position of power. Some of you God has blessed with incredible riches, and I know we're all rich in the Lord, and we all are rich to live in this country, but some of you are very wealthy. Don't boast in, you know, what you have, your house, your car, what you drive, that you're you don't have any debts and you paid this off. Good for you. Congratulations. Like, don't boast in that. All such boasting like that is evil. But rather, you who want to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and that they understand that I am the Lord who demonstrates unfailing love and who brings righteousness and justice to the earth. And God uses you. God uses you, Christian, to be that person who brings both righteousness and justice to the earth. So when you understand that you are enriched, you digest these thoughts of acclamation about where these gifts come from, and you express your faithfulness through your life. You don't tell everybody about the great things that you've done, but you let somebody else praise you. You let somebody else give you the words of affirmation. Let someone else praise you, not your own mouth. Let a stranger praise you, not your own lips. Finally, when you understand that you are enriched, for as long as you're down here on earth, you drive towards your eternal award. Now, I remember when I was a kid, like from the time that I was really young, I remember getting into the car with my mom and my dad and me and my sister, making the drive from Sudbury, Ontario, which is way north in Ontario, all the way down to Pompano Beach, Florida, which is right by Fort Lauderdale, where Bethany and Tej are living now. And can you, as perhaps parents who've had children, can you think on that long journey from Sudbury to Pompano Beach, what we said to my mother and father many, many times? Are we there yet? That's right. Like, we're not even into Toronto, and we're saying, are we there yet? Like, Toronto's 4.5 hours down the road. It's a 4-day drive to get to Pompano Beach. Do you know what we feel like sometimes in our spiritual journey? Dad, are we there yet? God, how much longer? Lord, where's the end? And here's what I want you to know as you drive towards your eternal reward. I know you choose Christ. You chose Christ, but he chose you. And he will keep you strong. Would you please say strong? That's the heart of God for you. He will keep you strong to the end. So if you wake up tomorrow on Monday, Family Day, February the 18th, 2019, God will keep you strong as you trust in him, so that you will be free from all blame on that day when your Lord Jesus Christ returns. When you know that you've been enriched, you drive towards your eternal award. You understand that your life is bigger than 40 or 60 or 70 or even 103 years. Your life is longer than that. I'll tell you something, David Champagne. He was a man who trained for things. He was in triathlons and marathons. He was a runner and a biker and a swimmer, and he knew what it was to get awards. But when the Lord called him home last week, he received his heavenly award. And there's an eternal award, friends, that God is calling us to drive towards and to strive for as we live each and every day for the glory of God. How do we drive towards our eternal reward? Well, first of all, we have to allow the compassion of God to flow through our lives. We have to allow God's compassion to not only be in us, but to flow through us. Somebody described compassion as your pain in my heart. Me having enough grace to care about something you're going through that I actually do something for you. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Allow the compassion of God to flow through you. How else can you drive towards your eternal reward? Well, if you're going to drive towards your eternal reward, you're going to have to invest in the community of heaven. You're going to have to lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. And we'll talk about this next week as we talk about enriching the lives of others. I thank God for those of you in this church that are willing to lay aside earthly stuff to be faithful to God. How possibly could we have a $350,000 missions budget? How possibly could we be out of 1,100 churches in the nation? I didn't get my letter yet from Murray, but I still believe we're going to be in the top 10 giving missions churches in Canada. How can we possibly do that? There's only one way. It's when the people of God in this place invest in the community of heaven. And I'll tell you something, as you invest faithfully in the tithe and faithfully in the offering, the gospel goes forward. It goes forward in this city. It goes forward in this nation. It goes forward to the very ends of the earth. And as you invest in the community of heaven with your time and with your talent, with your effort, also with your treasure, with that which God has provided for you, you are laying up for yourselves an eternal reward. You are laying up for yourselves a treasure in heaven that Jesus says no thief can get in and rob, that no one can come and destroy. And concerning this treasure in heaven, it will never fail, it will never perish, it will never spoil. And so thank you to those of you who are faithful to invest in the community of heaven. How else do you drive towards your eternal award? Well, you realize this in everything you do. As a Christian, this is exactly what you were created for. As a Christian, this is everything that you are created for in Christ Jesus. As God works upon your heart, and God works upon your mind, and God works upon your life, as you allow him to change you, then you understand that this relationship that you entered into with Christ Jesus, it depends on his faithfulness, and God will do this because he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You're a steward. God's called you with the life that you have to steward his grace. God's called you with the life that you've had to steward your life so that he might be made real to others in this world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today that we are a people who have been enriched in Jesus Christ. I want to thank you, Lord, that when we understand that we are a people who've been enriched, that we then will live expressing an attitude of gratitude. And today, Lord, I just want to be able to check our attitudes, as it were, in this place. And God, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, if we've been living with that attitude indicator pointing in the wrong direction, God, would you help us just to elevate our thinking? Would you help us, Lord, just to know that the attitude that we display is going to really determine whether we're soaring or whether we're boring. It's going to determine whether we're flying or whether we're dying, Lord. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us to have an attitude that displays gratitude for how you've enriched our lives. Not only our attitude, Lord, but I know that when we understand that we're an enriched people, that we will be those who dispense words of affirmation. And God, I pray that you'd again help us even again today to check our words at the door. And Lord, that you would examine our hearts. And Father, that we might be those who let no unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. That we might be those who only choose to speak words that are helpful, words that bring rest. And God, would you forgive us if we've caused pain in the lives of people by the words that we've spoken? If we need to reconcile, would you help us to do that? But God, would you help us to realize that the words that we choose to speak are those things that will drive our destiny forward. And not only that, Lord, but the words that we choose to speak, when we speak words of affirmation, that we bring life to those who hear it. God, when we understand that we're enriched people, we're a people who digest thoughts of acclamation, thoughts of favor, thoughts of welcoming, thinking on these things. If there's anything good, if there's anything noble, if there's anything right. Oh, there's a lot of things that are not good and not noble and not right. But God, if we think on these things, and so God, would you help us to digest the right kinds of thoughts? Thoughts of acclamation, because as we think, so we will be. And I want to thank you, Father, that for everybody that is in this house today that's given their lives to Jesus Christ, that you've placed us on an eternal journey. God, we have the same eternal destination. It's heaven. And help us to drive, Father, towards that eternal award. Paul talked about that when he said, I forget everything that's behind me. And there's some things this morning, Lord, we simply need to forget. There's some things we need to say sorry about. There's some kind of brokenness we leave behind, but we even need to forget the good things and the victories, Lord, and we just need to press on. We need to press on to the prize of the high calling of God. Help us, Lord, to drive towards our eternal reward. And if there's some of us here that are asking the Father, Dad, are we there yet? Dad, how much longer? Dad, when's it going to end? God, I want you to help us to remember that he who began a good work in us is going to be faithful to complete it until that final day. He's going to be faithful to complete it until the very end. And so, God, I'm asking that you would help us today as we leave from this place to understand that we've been enriched with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus.